Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. This is the first installment of many. For the last two Jews, the last two 30ths of the Quran, there is two books of Sidi Muhammad and Tafsir. This Tafsir that we're going to be starting today is Tafsir of Jews Amma, which is the 78th surah. Through the 114th, through the last one. And the book itself is the book itself is 226 pages, and we'll just be doing some at a time, maybe one surah, maybe two surahs at a time, depending. Taking your time with it. The book was published in 2004, Sidi Muhammad Press. You go to SufiMaster.org if you want to purchase this, if you don't have it already. So we'll get started with the Fatiha and we'll dive in. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. Sidi writes as an introduction. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, Bestower of Mercy, and in Him do I seek support. I praise you, O you who have in your words shown yourself to his worshipful servants in the perfect theophany of his glory and beauty, and inspired the hearts and the tongues of the knowers to extract its pearls and bounties, and cleft their hearts with the gushing forth of the springs of wisdom, supported by his principles of truth. And so they gained the virtuous benefits from diving deeply into the seas of his knowledges, and thus were wiped out under his awesome signs and manifest and irresistible proofs. All confess their deficiencies and have only taken from the ocean of his secrets and meanings according to their capacities to understand, to the degree that they were facilitated in such. It's such an ocean whose depths cannot be fathomed, and such a garden whose flowers do not wither away. How can it not be such? For it is the speech of our patron, who is fully knowledgeable of the hidden things, and of all that is past, all that is now, and all that will come. And I ask for benedictions and of glory and strengthening peace upon our liege Lord Muhammad, who is the mirror of the divine mercies, sent with that which would break the norms and with divine signs which shine in their splendor. And I ask for the same upon his household and companions, and those who traverse his path among the Gnostic saints, those who are at open ease, the firm mountains of certainty in the midst of the severe trials and back-breaking hardships. My beloveds, you who aspire to the ways leading to the gate of the truth, Al-Haq, that you may obtain experiential gnosis of him and seek the provisions that you may tread the path of your master until he takes charge of your affairs, and thus attain success through the greater established road, which is none other than arrival to him, while not turning your attentions to other than him, to be gifted with his pure love, that you may sit upon the carpet of truthfulness in the presence of an all-powerful sovereign. Open your hearts. Open your hearts to listen to the words of your cherisher and lover, for by his guidance have the guided ones been guided by him, so that they are rightly guided. And whomever he allows to be misguided, then there is no guiding helper able to direct him correctly. To you now is the explication and detailed explanation of the meanings of Surah Al-Fatiha, Quran 1:1-7, in their Sharia sense and their Hakika sense. And Allah is the source of help. Surah Al-Fatiha. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Rahman ar-Rahim. Malik Yawm Din. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. The surah was revealed in Mecca and consists of 7 verses, ayat, and is recited in every cycle of prayer, rakah, in every salat, because of what it contains of praise to Allah. And it's the beginning of the Quran, and it contains the meanings of what is to follow in summary fashion. It's the surah of praise, alhamd, and gratitude, ashukur, shukr, and the surah which explains the correct way to ask him. For it began with praise of him, and it's the surah of the prescribed prayer, a salat, because of its repeated recitation in salat. And it's the foundation of the Quran, because it is its source and origination, and the rest of it is founded upon it. The totality of the written copies of the Quran agree that it begins with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Quran 1:1. Allah, the proper name and the signifier of the necessarily existent divine essence, which deserves all praises. The real Al-Haq says, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim Maliki Yawm Deen, verses 2-4. Which means in translation, praise belongs to Allah, sustaining Lord of the worlds, all-merciful, bestower of mercy, sovereign of the day of judgment. These words point to the reality, which everyone knows, that praise, alhamd, is nothing other than drowning in his depths. For praise, all of it belongs to Allah. For there's no good in existence, except that he is its owner and grantor, both through the agency of his intermediary means he has set up, and without the agency of his means, just as he has also said, and you have no blessing except that it is from Allah. Quran 16:53. The literal meaning of hamd is praise in gratitude for favors bestowed with the objective of glorification and exaltation. And it expresses exaltation of the grantor of blessings due to his being their source. And the worshipful slave's gratitude to Allah, his master, because of what he blessed him with, such as hearing and sight and whatever else he created for his sake and bestowed upon him. Allah, a proper name which the Creator has kept uniquely for himself, and it takes the place of the names of his attributes and refers in its signification only to the ipsiety, the absolute reality of the divine essence, al-huwiyya. Rabb, its meanings include God, Ilah, the Lord, the Sustainer, the Fosterer, the Cherisher, the Sovereign, the Master. And all are fitting descriptions for the Lord of the worlds, except that it most clearly fits the meaning of Ilah, which most directly and explicitly refers to Allah, Most High. Alamin, the plural of Alam, cosmos or world, which is a word connoting all that he is known by, which includes everything other than him, such as primary substances and secondary accidental forms. For in the possibility of their existence and in their essential indigence towards one who would affect them, such a one being necessarily existent in itself without need of another causative agent, so that it, the Alam, points to and indicates the existence of its originator. And it was made plural here because of the varying species and types of creation included in it. Rahman Rahim. Know that the names of Allah are considered in view of their goals and ends, which are actions, their effects, instead of being compared according to their principal origins, such as mercy being the source of these two names, which would then make them reactions themselves. Therefore, Ar-Rahman, the All-Merciful, is more containing and far-reaching than Ar-Rahim, bestower of mercy, because the greater number of receiving objects of mercy points to the greater meaning attached to one of the names above the other. It has been narrated in one of the supplications, the dua, of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said about the first name, O Rahman, of this world, this dunya, because this name includes both the mu'min and the kafir among its receiving objects. Whereas he then said, O Rahim, of the next world, the akhirah, because this name only applies to the mu'min, the believer. In another narration, he said, O Rahman, of this world and the next, and the Rahim of this world. For the blessings of the next world are all immense and tremendous, but the blessings of this world include the small and the meager ones. Hence the name, which is greater in scope, applies to the blessings which are greater in degree. He began with Rahman to give us a comparative ordering of moving from the lower in degree to the more sublime in degree, in that he began with mentioning the mercy of this world. In this, he, may Allah bless him and grant him peace, taught us that none other than he could be ascribed with such attributes. For their meaning is the true grantor of blessings whose mercy is infinitely far-reaching, and this cannot be a possible description of other than him, the Most High. And the real Al-Haq, Most Glorious, says, teaching his worshipful slaves how to praise him and magnify him, and then ask him, saying, O my servants, say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. In other words, only the tremendous possessor of glory is deserving of the beautiful praises. So no one other than him deserves praise in reality. For there is no grantor of blessings but him. And you have no blessing except that it is from Allah. Quran 16:53. Therefore all praises belong to Allah. And regarding the pre-eternal praise of the covenant, which is recorded in the cellular memories of human intellects, it consists of Allah's praising of himself in pre-eternity before the existence of any creation. So when he originated his creation, he said, Alhamdulillah. In other words, praise me with that same praise which was declared in pre-eternity. And he alone is ultimately deserving of praise because he is the Rabb of all the worlds. And an imaginary questioner asked him, why were you specified with praise, hummed? And he answered, because I am the Rabb of all the worlds. I am the one who originated them into being my ascent by my essential mercy and extended to them the support of my grants. And there's none other than me who does that. So for this reason, I uniquely deserve praise. From me came all granting of existence, and continual sustenance is solely my responsibility. So I am the Rabb of the slaves. So the totality of the worlds and the variety of species and types are all in my grasp and under my care and fostering. Know that Allah has created 18,000 worlds, alam, half of which are in the sea. And know that the children of Adam are equal to the tenth of the number of jinn, invisible beings created from smokeless fire. And that humankind and jinn are equal to a tenth of the land animals. And all of these equal a tenth of the number of flying creatures, and all of these equal a tenth of the number of sea creatures. And all of these are equal to the tenth of the number of angels on earth, entrusted to humankind, and all these are equal to a tenth of the angels of the lowest heaven, and all these are equal to a tenth of the number of the angels residing in the second heaven, and so on to the seventh heaven. And the totality of all this, all these worlds, humankind, jinn, animals, angels of the earth, seven heavens, are also a tenth of the inhabitants of the Kursi, the throne. Then all the inhabitants of and under the Kursi are equal to one-tenth of the angels occupying one of the tenths of the divine throne of authority, Arsh, which number 100,000. If the heavens and the earth and all in them and between them were to be compared to the width and the length of one of these tenths, they would fail to cover but only a slight measure of their size. And there is not in these tents a space of four fingers, except that there is an angel, either prostrating or bowing or standing or glorifying Allah or declaring his oneness. Furthermore, all these tents would be as a drop in an expansive ocean compared to the ones who circumambulate the Arsh, and whose number is not known to anyone save Allah. And none knows the soldiers of Allah save He. Quran 74:31. And know that the pillars of the Arsh number 366, and between each pillar are 60,000 deserts, And in every desert are 60,000 worlds, and each world containing the number of humans and jinn from their beginning to their end. Know then that this stupendous number of worlds are all in the grasp of the real, and under his care and fostering and safeguarding. He delivers his aid of sustenance to each and every creation contained therein, whether they are in their temporary dwelling places or resting places, to its spiritual aspect. He strengthens it with the provision of knowledges and gnosis, and to the physical aspect. He strengthens it with the provision of corporeal forms. All this from the divine throne, the Arsh, to the bottommost level of creation, the Farsh, including the vast outer space and the earth with its soft land and moving mountains. For all of these creations, their life sustenance and life spans are well guarded, and the places of their bodies are well known, with nothing in the heavens and the earth being hidden from him. For he's the all-hearing and he's the all-knowing. Furthermore, this fostering with which Allah has fostered Rabbah, his creation, is a pure mercy from him and a favor, which he is not obliged to offer, but does so anyway because he is the all-merciful bestower of mercy, Rahman, Rahim. He is Rahman in the giving of existence and Rahim in the giving of continual sustenance, which are two blessings that no creature lacks or can do without. He first blessed the creation with the blessing of existence, then followed it up with the blessing of continual provision and sustenance, as is alluded to in the Hikam of Sidi Ibn Abd Allah. Therefore, the name of Rahman necessitates the origination of things and their coming or manifesting into being. And the name of Rahim necessitates their support and fostering. For this reason, it's not allowed to give the name of Rahman to anyone. Nor has anyone been named as such, for none other than he can originate things into being. Whereas the name of Rahim can be metaphorically given to other than him, Most High, because other things share in the quality of granting support in an outward, metaphorical, secondary sense. A third narration of the Prophet's supplication relates him as also saying, Rahman of this world and the next, and Rahim of the next. This is because the mercy of the next world is solely for the believers in him. Or it could mean, he is Rahman in the immense favors and Rahim in the smaller ones. The immense favors include, for example, the blessing of Islam, Iman, which is the confirmation in faith secured by revelation, Ihsan, spiritual excellence arising from beholding the truth, and Ma'rifa, Gnostic recognition of truth. Hidayah, guidance, unveiling, opening of the door, entry with the beloveds, and the smaller ones can include health, well-being, earning lawful income, and other examples to be mentioned later. Furthermore, when it is realized that truly from him comes existence and sustenance, then it is also recognized that he is rightfully the king of all the slaves. And therefore, he said, Maliki Yawm Din, Sovereign of the Day of Judgment, Quran 1-4. In other words, the one who deals with his servants as he wills, there being no one who could annul his decrees or prevent what he gives from reaching its destination. So he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, in this house and in the house of the hereafter. He specified Yawm Din because is Yom HaDin, which is the day of recompense, as a symbol and example of his sovereignty because of that day. Because on that day, his ownership and sovereignty of all things will become clear to all eyes. For he will appear before his slaves to decide between that in which they differed, to the point that the believers will see him with their eyes, which is not the case in this world. For his dealings are understood by none except the perfected ones among the Gnostic knowers. And because of this, a great number of the ignorant have claimed sovereignty and ascribed it to themselves. But on the day of reckoning and judgment, sovereignty will be totally and completely for Allah, and the common and the elect will behold this truth. And Allah said in reference to this, to whom does this dominion belong today? It belongs to Allah, the One, the Irresistible. Quran 40:16. Know, my beloved, that when the Real revealed himself in theophany to Jali, from the realm of the Jabarut to the realm of the Malakut, or we could say from the realm of the unseen to the realm of the witnessed, he praised himself by himself and glorified himself by himself and declared his own oneness by himself. So in his declaring himself one by himself, he said, speaking for himself, praise belongs to Allah, Lord of the worlds and the realms. Quran 1-2. So it is as if he said, in the title of his book and secret of his speech, I am the praiser and the praised, and I am the establisher of every existent being. I am the Lord of Lords, the cause of causes. For the one who understands the speech, I am the cherishing Lord of all the worlds. I am the sustaining establisher, the Qayyum of the heavens and the earth. Not only that, but I am the one in my being manifesting myself to my servants, my generosity and munificence. So the worlds are confirmed in existence by my confirming them and united in the unity of my essence. A man sitting in the company of Imam Junaid sneezed and then said, Alhamdulillah, without following that with Rabbil Alameen. So Imam Junaid told him, complete it, my brother. And the man responded, and what essential worth do these worlds, do these worlds have that I should mention them along with him? So Imam Junaid answered, say it, my brother, for when the newly existent is placed along with the eternally existent, then the newly existent vanishes and the eternal remains. He, Most High, says, O you who are near to me, reflect over my secret. For it is extraordinary. I am the lover and I am the beloved. I'm the near and I'm the responder. I'm the Rahman Rahim. I'm the king, the judge, and I am the Rahman because of the blessing of granting existence. And the Rahim because of the blessing of granting continual sustenance. From me came existence, and upon me is perpetual provision. I am the Lord of the slaves, and I am the King and Judge. And I am the one who recompenses with excellent beneficence for spiritual excellence, Alex Son. And I'm the absolute sovereign, irregardless of the ignorance of the people of stubborn denial and division. The command is ours perpetually, as it is clear to those among the people who are understanding of us. And know, my beloved, that the meaning to be considered is not in the outward form of things, but rather the meaning is to be truly considered as the hidden secret. And that is not except by the manifestation of the command of the real, of the hawk, and the lifting of his cover, and the removal of his veils. When this manifestation of the divine truth is actualized, apologies, and that is not except by the manifestation of the command of the real Ahak and the lifting of his cover and the removal of his veils. When the manifestation of the divine truth is actualized, and when annihilation overcomes the things, and the darkness is received due to the blazing illumination of the divine light, then at that point the source of certainty will be revealed to the open, and the truth will be confirmed by the nullification of its opposite, the apparent independent existence of forms, during the day of judgment, when the sovereignty will truly be exclusively for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And it is my fervent wish to understand when exactly the sovereignty ever belonged to other than him, so that specification should have to be included in his saying, and the dominion will be for Allah on that day. Quran 22:56, and also the command will belong to Allah on that day. Quran 82:19. That brings us just to the very first couple, a few ayats. And it brings us to page 17, where we'll pick up, inshallah, with our next installment. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawm Al-Din Iyyaka Na'budu Wa Iyyaka Nasta'in Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim Siratal Ladhina An'amta Alayhim Ghayrul Maghdubi Alayhim Wal Dhalin Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.